Peace to brothers and sisters. Last week we talked about we need to discern what is best so that we can be blameless before God. So to discern what is best. So that is the prerequisite to be blameless before God. Here, So I wanted to share about some circumstances that would interfere with our discernment. There is an external environment. It's an external factors. That what people say, what has certain happened, and cause me to be confused. Before we talk about the factors, then before we talk about external factors, we want to talk about internal factors. But we cannot discern what is best and make the best judgment. But it starts from us gratifying our own desires. It's our sinful nature. So our sinful nature causes us to be foolish, narrow-minded, and subjective. The most common problems among people, from our own perspective, we see things. So of course, God created many different people. We all have different backgrounds and experience. So the way we see things will be different. So when someone sees from this perspective and the other see from another perspective. So when we put all these things together, we must have a holistic judgment. Although we have different perspective, but we come together to see what is the best outcome for everyone. But you can see most people are not like that. They insist on their own ways. If what I think is best is the right, so their stubbornness, their refusal to submit, it can cause a problem. So when your person do it, so Proverbs also tell us, if a person insists that he on his way, the foolish are wiser than him. So even for a pastor, no matter how spiritual he is, how competent or how experienced he is, but even if a CEO, you need to report to the board directors, because the world also know that. Because the world also know that our biggest enemy is our own narrow-mindedness. So we must we need to make judgment from a broader with more inputs. So if the world knows about this, then when we judge, so the foundation of which we judge things should be greater than the worldly people, because God has given us the words of truth, God's word of God. It's the knowledge of knowledge. So we must understand, we must thank God. Besides the wisdom of the world, besides the absolute eternal truth, I must hold on to the truth. All these principles, no matter how my foundation is going back to the Word of God. But what you need to deal with is, although you know the revelation of God, but very often the sin, because we fall because we did not we hear the word, but most of the time we do not trust the word when we do things. So they apply, or some of them, they know the word of God. They know a lot of the word of God, but they misapply it so that it fits their own situation and their own preference. In every situation, there's the complexity. So when you... Some people do things very well, but they did not care about a person's feelings. Some people are considerate about the feelings of everybody, but then they did not get things done. We also see this in our workplace. In the church, it's also the same thing. What is right or wrong? Does he have love? If you have love, why no wisdom? If he has wisdom in doing work, how come there's no love? So all these are very... So in the church, it gives us all kinds of insight. In the church, everyone has his needs. If it's the reasonable, if the needs are reasonable, we must believe that God will satisfy that. But when, how, then you need to discern. You need to discern what is best. How to do it, when to do it. I have this need. How come? Once you are unhappy, you may slander others. So when you react unreasonably, you must ask yourself, is this what you have that need? You have your own reasons, but you impose your reasons and your needs on the rest in the whole situation. You must consider this is something we are not used to. What is, when we see something is right, we just go and do it. What is right? It may not be right when we view from a bigger perspective. So this is our blind spot. So the first thing for us, we must repent when... So if a person repents, he will examine his own heart. We know we are people, we have to be people who knows how to examine our own hearts. Our speech, our actions, is it something pleasing to God? Someone who is not... So if I suspect a person, if you have this prejudice, whatever the person says, you doubt. If you think a decision is wrong, it's not... So some people may say, I don't think moving the church is not a bad idea. You already have this. You already have a bias. So every time, some people... So their ears will be shut. So once he hears one person who say, it's not good to move, and he will say, hey, see, everyone thinks it's not. Everyone say... Last time, so last time I used to drive a black car. I see all the black cars in. Now I drive a white color car, so I see many white cars on the road. So we like to see things from our own perspective through our lens. Even so we must know our own weaknesses and the situations where we may fall into this folly. We focus on ourselves, we also take care of people around us, and what God has, if you do overdo it, if we do not open our eyes, what is the best? So that's why we need to discern what is best. So when we know the truth, you do not remain in the truth. The spirit of truth, you must ask with the help of the spirit of truth, you must consider your own thoughts. So what do we say or do so that it is pleasing to God? So that's why I say this year we need to discern what is best, to be blameless before God. So don't be self-righteous, you must reflect. Do not examine your own hearts. It becomes a form of foolishness. So a lot of people, so if you look back of the things you've done in the, so you look back 10 years ago, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. So move on. So when we, why did you make a wrong decision? Because you're too confident about yourself, your own ways. You're very sure about your own ways. What I see is definitely right. When you look back, 60% is wrong. At that time, you didn't pray properly. You did not apply God's word properly. You have a lot of your own bias and your hurts. A person who is wise, he will repent. No matter how good I am, no matter how right I am, I'm not perfectly right. But I humbly follow you and do my best. So this person will receive the mercy and favor of God. In this spiritual battle, so when the serpent tempted Eve, how did God really say this? Talk about God. He is the benchmark of all goodness and righteousness. So what God said may not, because God knows that if you eat the fruit, you'll be just like God. So he just destroyed the image of God's perfectness in the mind of Eve. Even if I eat, it's not wrong to eat. When you say something, when I do this, it's reasonable, it's right. Then you become the enemy did not tell you how wonderful it is. So he destroyed your judgment of right and wrong. For brothers, if you see a sister in the workplace, you talk to her and she is nice to talk to. Do you have to have lunch? So you have this discernment. This is not right. Because I'm already married. So I just, you will refuse the person. You have a, if there's another voice telling you, it's just a meal. Actually, so you compromise from when you cross the line, you will realize you will fall into more and more temptations. There are many people who tempt, many things who tempt you, but God gives you this. What is the? There are many things I wanted to do and see, many things I want to grumble, but you know it is not right, because you are used to discerning what is best. Can it edify others? Is it good for the church? I don't want to cross this line. Then you will not fall. So if you have so when you remove the gate, then you just walk and ignore the discernment, then you will see. So you will see that what he ends up with is that even he has suppressed his own discernment, and then even though he knows it's wrong, he just follows his heart. He does. If I like, I just do. If I don't like, I do not do. Who can stop me? So it's our own formation. So what do I say? Discern what is best. Is it about gossip? It's not about gossip and slander. It's before God. God is the source of goodness, but He has His standard, He has the law. So we do not cross the line. What is best and what is excellent? We must be used to, must pursue what is the best and what is excellent. In our, maybe sometimes we are believers for many years, so we live in this. There's no right or wrong. Everyone say it can be done. This is nothing wrong. Then you just assume it's nothing wrong. Moral statistics. In a society, if a two-thirds of the people, so when two-thirds of the people population think that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, then a lot of people will assume that this is something is right. It's going with the majority. It is not based on, if you do not teach your children this way, if you do not have this, if you don't have this discernment, then it's very dangerous for your future generation. So I want to bless all of you. This topic, learn this well. Just now when we must struggle, we must. So this, so we also need to know our external circumstances. We are definitely being influenced by the environment. So our thoughts will be, even though we have God's word, we cannot remember. So in Philippians, so how did Paul bring out his perspective? How he discerned what is best? I'm not saying that if you are strong, so no matter what circumstances, you will be remain firm. So, so that sometimes with our children stray, you feel very discouraged, and then when in the workplace, you may feel a lot of stress, and then when you are very stressed, you may start to sacrifice other things. But this is the environment. If you want to overcome this, so you need to, in that situation, what is the excellent, so what's the God's perfect will? If you are used to training, last week we also read from Book of Philippians. So, chapter 1, verse 12. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So now we need to discern what is best. How to discern? So, so Paul used different situation. Verse 12, he said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, and everyone else, that I'm in chains for Christ. The whole palace guard, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard, and to everyone else, that I'm in chains for Christ. So they are the guards watching Paul and start to understand the Christ that he talks about. And he continues to testify for Lord and see how the gracious hand of God was with him. And everyone else that I'm in chains. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Some people preach Christ. Some have preached Christ out of motive. Everybody is preaching Christ, so we just. So, some people say, Paul didn't preach as well, you just follow me. So, there will be different factions. But, so,
十八节，这又何妨？或是真一，或是
真心。So, verse 18, but what does that matter? The important thing is in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. This is suffering. A lot of people say, in suffering, they say, I want to endure. Endure? But what are you enduring? We have thoughts, we have mind, we have judgment. We will make judgment, we will discern. If your judgment is wrong, you will not be able to endure. So in his difficulty, in the daily leading of the Lord, he discerned what is best. And how the Lord's hand is graciously with him. When he tests and approves this way, because of what have happened to me has advanced the gospel. When I'm in chains, God convicted people to visit me. So, compelled me to share the gospel to everyone who visits me, and then they will be moved to share it with others. Yes. So there are people who create trouble. So sometimes, so when we hear good news, we become very happy, and we hear some bad news, we will feel very discouraged. So people who preach out of impure motives, but most importantly, is for the gospel to be advanced. Even if you do it out of a wrong motive, they will fail. Then we can gather them. Even though they can. So we worry too much. People who are against us, we always feel a grief because you do not discern what is best. How the Lord is seeing things. If your perspective is closely aligned to the Lord, your heart, when your perspective is not aligned to, there will be a lot of things you unnecessary worries. This is a, so we must endure. True, what God is doing. And Paul is seeing this everything from the perspective of a God-centered, kingdom-centered. If he is focused on whether people are following him, then he will be very discouraged. It is about gospel being advanced. The Lord has his own ways. So in your suffering, you must know what God is doing, and then you must have a gospel-centered perspective. You will see your suffering is not coincidental, it's not random. It's not using faith. Because many people say, Paul has faith. Faith is what you have not seen. Later we'll talk about faith. So things that has already happened. You have no, you don't have this, you cannot see.
你自己的利益你看不到，甚至是发生在旁边是正在快速的做的时候，
所以为什么看 why cannot why why can't you see what God is doing? It's suffering. There are, it's very common suffering. There's no yesterday. So some students, they got good job or good results. There will be new stress and pressure. We cannot be too. You think that if I, it's not about you proclaiming everything will be good. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 12. So you are already people who are saved. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Is it salvation or sanctification? Your process of sanctification so that you're more and more like Christ. So fear and trembling. Verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault. It's similar to what we said earlier, blameless and pure. From here, those people, so a lot of people who grumble, they have a lot of rebuke in their hearts. There are many things they cannot face God because there's a lot of grievances. Things are not good. Why are things? So he keeps thinking that situation is not good, people are not good. So I say to you, do not be complaining. Then you start to wonder whether God is good. There is a difference. Besides your response to suffering, the Christians must be different. What you say should not be negative. You should not be frowning all the time. So that you may become pure and blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you only firmly the word of firmly to the word of life. Then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. So sometimes I also accidentally grumble. Why do you grumble? Because you are living among sinners. You are living in an imperfect fallen world. In all their weaknesses and this evil, they combine with your sinful nature. In this, you cannot see the good, pleasing and perfect will of God. So when we co-work with others, we will see people who disagree with us. There will be disagreements. In dealing with this, we must realize how do we approach this I grumbling before grumbling, it is the matter of your perspective. If when a Christian, he does not discern what is best, and he, when he out of his own frustration, he reacted. First, the problem will not be resolved when he just want to find people who are standing with me, has the same perspective. The third thing, he will, every time I grumble against this person, I'll just be with people who do not like the person. He will be with those people who, then there will be different factions in the church. In the office, office politics is also the same. It's actually, it does not glorify God. A Christian, he knows what divides people. It starts from grumbling. When you have grumbling, you have conflicts. You must have. Here it says you have to have fear and trembling. God does not grumble. God is good and righteous and love and mercy. Everything is wrong. And when things are not right, he'll execute his justice and correct it. If a person has done wrong and he repents, and God will execute his mercy. So when we are dealing with an unfavorable situation, sometimes when people do or say things that is not pleasing to me, first you must live before God. Because you are living in a crooked, a warped and crooked generation. You will perish with them. It's not our motive. If I do things the way they do, some people nowadays are very strange. Simple things, they like to complain. So if you talk to the person, you just take the camera and film things. One day, and then you like to film everything and shame others. So when there's once I really wanted to do this, when I discern what is best, who gives you the right to do this? This is my revenge, this is my power, this is my. So when we have power in our hands, we have to have fear and trembling because we are live before God. When I see this crooked world, the way they do things, the evil in their ugliness and self-centered ways, I don't want to. So how, if not, how do I be blameless? There must be other ways. I can rebuke. I can reason with them. I can respond. Not to fight back. It's not to repay evil with evil.
Everyone
Everyone talks like this in the church. If you're used to if once you're not happy, you just shoot your mouth. It could be because you are always with this kind of people. If not, then there is some, you have this grumbling. You use grumbling as a coping mechanism. I need to grumble to cope with. In the end, you can't solve the problem. What is the spiritual response? You should have fear and trembling to work out your salvation. Always ask yourself, when I grumble, when I say these things, when I think of people this way, let's reflect. The third circumstance, this is something we need really, when we are facing the enemies of the cross of Christ. When we go to chapter 3, verse 17. So he says, keep your eyes on those who live as you do. As I often told you before, now I tell you even again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. So he emphasized that he's telling them with tears, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But then he carry on, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power enables him to bring everything under his control. So from this crooked warp generation, and brings us, transform our lowly bodies. This is his. So he said he has told them many times and now telling them with tears. And this is really his emphasis. When we are facing the enemies of the cross of Christ, why are they called the enemies of the cross? Why not enemies of God? Why the enemies of the cross of Christ? Because but their life is going against the spirit of the cross. It satisfies the souls. But the God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. So the cross is talking about the things on earth, and here talking about the things. The cross is talking about things on earth, and this their mind is set on things on earth. They are the hedonists. There's a group of people. We just need to be saved. Our flesh. I can have. So So all this hyper grace and prosperity gospel is the same. They are the enemies of the cross. Their God is their stomach. They want to fill their stomach. They think about earthly things, health. Actually, it's their own desires. God has already provided what they need, but they want more. And then they share the testimony. Their glory is in their shame. All this. You can tell. Actually, the Bible talks about all this. When you can discern what is best. You drool when you see them make a lot of money. Then you feel, every day I bear the cross. They proclaim. Everything is good. Family is good. They are healthy. Don't be deceived. God allow to deceive those who need to be deceived. Allow those who need to be deceived to be deceived. Not just to. So that believers, so we can discern what is best. I'm different. So their destiny is destruction. Armor. Citizenship is in heaven. When we hear a testimony, we are all very excited about a positive outcome of a testimony. It's not like that. The gospel, it's not about the. So we hear our Yan sharing the most authentic. The process, how do we rely on God so that the name of God be glorified? So how? So that our hearts will be guarded, will be refined. We pray that no one is confused by. Don't be envious. Don't be envious of those who are very powerful and successful. If you have too much, you'll be tempted. So some people who have money. Then you cannot resist this temptation. Then God knows where your life is until you and give you enough to enjoy it to the fullest so that you can guard your heart, you can glorify God. And then you can enjoy the love of people around you. Every day, if you are at home, you are thinking about how to make it rich. You must think about, must discern what is best for the king. What is best for you, for the kingdom. Think about this. Chapter 4, The other circumstance is when, verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is it to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So when he was in prison in Rome, he needed some material help so that he can be in house arrest, so that people can visit him. If not, he will be in a dungeon. He has a practical need. So when Philippians church sent the money, I'm not saying, what he's saying is, no matter what circumstances, I can be content. Before the money is here, I already have the peace. So before that, he already said that do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, present your request to God. So he already said, and he has learned contentment from God. So he did not allow his mind to be given to worries and anxieties, but he allowed God to take charge. So, and he is able to give thanks, and is able to share the needs. So, how is it? So, it is something that has happened. So what has happened has, so he needs the faith. He does discern what is best. He truly believe there's a, this is his secret. So he has this peace that surpasses understanding. So in this uncertainty, he has a peace. We saw four circumstances. How he is able to discern what is best. So what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God? Why is he able to do it, but why are we not able? What's his secret? There are three things. The first, do you realize in sharing about his discernment, he is centered, put God at the center to discern what is best. Although the circumstances are real, but he has put God in that situation. God is good and faithful and righteous. When I'm weak, he is compassionate. When I have need, he's the one who answers our prayers. So we know a lot of the Word of God. We attend the Reform training class. But so the Word of God is perfect, but the actual reality, the Word of God and the actual real in the middle, in between this is the presence of God. we must not treat anything that happened to us as random. So, why this thing? This one unlucky. This one is caused by this person. Such a thinking is not. It's not a Christian thinking. It causes you to lose the discernment. I know this is not easy. This is something we need to learn. So we need to put God at the center to discern what is best. This is a promise of God. The second thing, observe the examples of blessed people. So learn my example. So he talk about two person, Timothy. So who has co-worked with him. Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son of his father, he served me in the work of gospel. And then he talked about Epaphroditus. And then he almost lost his life. So the examples, his own example, Timothy, Epaphroditus. So sometimes, very often, we also need examples of people around us. You must also. So the cell group leader needs to be example, role model for your. So when we say want to reform, we think that. Of course, the doctrine must be right. But you must follow the example. If you... When you start to think that you need to follow the example, you realize you need to... It's not just what you think is right. And when you want to follow up with your actions and behavior, you realize it's not deep, but so oh, not just learn the word of God, you see. So what is someone who loves the Lord? You know what is false prophet? So who are those who said this? Their God is their stomach. So what caused the... So open your eyes to see the he talk about his own personal prayer, his blessedness in the prayer experience. Prayer. Let me share about prayer. It's a very personal thing. How a person draw near to God and call out to the Lord. Paul said he already has the secret. How he enjoyed the prayer as a form of secret. How he received comfort from God through his prayer. The fulfillment. So when the money came, you also saw how his prayer was answered. But almost, there are two types of. One is so the other, so both are problem. One is always claiming that God will fulfill. The other one is that every time praying but never see anything fulfilled. If a person when a person pray, his the conviction he received must be greatly, it is, and you know that this is the Holy Spirit convicting you to pray. If you, my word is in you, whatever you ask for, it will be given to you. We should learn a lot of truth. So the word of God in this situation, when he sees what he asked for, God will give it to him. We must, what is your desires, sinful desires? Spurgeon said this. Many times, when I come before God because I have needs. I pray because I have needs. We all have needs. When we come before God, we need His comfort. We need His. So sometimes ministry, you need money. It's a need also. Everybody talk about money and work. Our God is abundant. In all things, He provides for us. All the little grace. In our prayer life, very often, we not a pray like Paul. I can be content. I have learned the secret. This tells us you need after. When you pray, it is a form of godliness. You need God to comfort you in this situation. In teaching the kid, you have this need. The need cause you to come before God. And through prayer and petition, present your requests with thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not allow grievances to remain in you. Present your requests to God. And this is how God is ready in truth, in His abundance, in His faithfulness. He will fulfill your need. This is something you need to learn. If you do not learn this, it is just a head knowledge. I see. Have you seen? When I see, We pray when the zero COVID policy, you pray for the God hears their prayers. You pray when that time you prompt us to pray. God has already prepared to fulfill. So our prayer is active. If you do not look forward to, I always talk about God's sovereignty. Everything is in His sovereignty. But He's the God who reveals to us. He reveals to Abraham. We cannot just, and we cannot draw near to God. We cannot. We must be. He said, it's like a husband and wife. Don't need to set a time to talk. You have a need to just draw near. Sometimes, and God gives me peace and gives me assurance, and then He fulfills, answers my prayer. It's a very subjective experience, but you need, if not, your faith is just theoretical in those people who know how to be discern what is best. So we preach the word, but practically in all the things. So all these things cause us to come before the Lord. So we must rejoice. And pray, this is the three areas where we can, Lord, we give you thanks. And you have encouraged us with your word. And in this area of the mystery of discerning what is best, we want to understand. And we give you thanks and bless the time we have later. And also lead us in the next service. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.